name is Scott Pinnell. Turn this thing on here first.
My family and I are out of the Cloverleaf Missionary Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Brother Seth Bunch is our pastor, and we are with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and we are missionaries to the upper Midwest, United States. And several years ago in 2015, the Lord started dealing with my heart about doing something more for Him, more than what me and my family were just doing, and we were doing like many Christians do. We were coming in and sitting on the church pew and leaving, and coming in week after week and sitting on the church pew and leaving, and that was about the extent of our Christian walk. And in early 2015, the Lord let me know He didn't save me for me to sit on a church pew. He saved me for me to serve Him. Amen. There's no difference between me and you in that aspect here this evening. He didn't save you just for you to sit on the church pew, but for us to serve Him. Amen. I've heard it before. People will say that I can do this or that, or I don't have to do this and that to be a Christian. I don't have to read my Bible to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to be in the will of God to be a Christian. Well, you try to be married and not go home or not talk to your spouse and see how that works out. Amen. It doesn't work out too good. Right, Brother Jordan? Amen. And so early in 2015, he let me know that we had a missions conference that we attended to in Tennessee, my family and I, where we were chaperones for our teen group. And there the Lord began to deal with me some more. And I went down to the altar and I surrendered to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. I didn't know He was calling me to the mission field, didn't know what He wanted, but I just knew He wanted me to surrender to Him and whatever it was that He had for us. And so I went down to the altar. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. And 4 months later, we had another missions conference at our home church there in Cartersville. And Monday night of the missions conference, I knew what it was that the Lord wanted. I knew He wanted me to surrender to the mission field. So, amen, I done like any good Christian does when the Lord deals with them, right? I went down to the altar. Amen? Amen. So I went down to the altar and I got on my knees. And that Monday night of that missions conference, I told the Lord, no, I wouldn't do it. Amen. And I say that just to remind you that it's real. Amen. The Lord deals with us, and a lot of times we'll put it off, and like I did, there's no difference there. And so I got back up, walked to my seat, left that evening, came back in Tuesday night of the missions conference, and the preacher got up and preached, and the Lord dealt with me and said, hey, I want you to surrender to the mission field. So I made my way down to the altar again, and I said, Lord, I don't want to have to learn a new language. Lord, I don't want to have to go on deputation. Lord, I don't want to have to, Lord, I don't have the best education, Lord. I don't have the best speech. Hey, all the excuses that Moses was given there in the book of Exodus. I started giving to the Lord, Brother Ellis, and got back up, walked to my seat and left that evening. Came back in Wednesday, and Wednesday was a little different. Preacher got up, said, open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus. I said, uh-oh, here we go. And he began to preach on all the excuses that Moses gave and why he couldn't serve the Lord. Can I tell you, it'd be about good and high time for some of us just to go ahead and chunk those excuses and move on with the Lord and move on what He have for us. America would probably be a lot better shape off than we are, and this world would be in a lot better shape than we are now if we would just get rid of some of the excuses. Hey, wait, we can talk ourselves into doing anything. Hey, I can talk myself into buying a brand new F-350 tomorrow if I wanted to. And we can talk ourselves out of doing anything that we don't want to do, or that we don't feel comfortable doing, right? And so I went down to the altar that Wednesday night. I said, Lord, okay, you got me. I'll go anywhere that you'd have us to go. I said, Lord, I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Japan. Lord, I said, I'll go to India. Lord, I'll stay right here. Lord, I'll do anything that you want. And can I tell you, let me tell you a little secret. Until you get to that place in your walk with the Lord where you say, Lord, I'll do absolutely anything that you want, you won't figure it out. He won't let you know. You first have to say, okay, Lord, I'll do anything. And He'll say, okay, I'll give you a little bit more. And so I told the Lord I'd go anywhere. And we had an older gentleman in our church who is a missionary to the upper Midwest, and he grabbed me by the hand, and his wife then grabbed my wife by the hand, and they began to disciple us and take us through the Word of God and show us different things and teach us different things about missions and the Word of God. And I remember the first time that we sat down together, he explained to me of his ministry that he had in the upper Midwest and South Dakota. And I said, brother, I hear about these people going to Egypt and India and Africa and all over the world. I said, brother, why in the world would anybody want to be a missionary to America? I said, we have Bible preaching churches everywhere on every street corner. And Brother King, I know you're laughing because I know where you come from up there. And this was my realm of thinking. And this might be your thinking this evening. There's not Bible preaching churches everywhere in America. They're not all over. And I grew up in Georgia. I didn't really venture out of the Southeast that much. So what I knew, that our country has reached our country. And boy, was I wrong. In 2017, I drove with that man up to South Dakota, and as just to help him drive, is what I thought anyways. And the Lord had different plans, but we drove from Desmet, South Dakota, where Little House on the Prairie was, all the way up to Watertown, South Dakota. And in that stretch there, it's a 60-mile stretch, and we zigzagged back and forth between 10 or 15 towns as we drove through there. And would you believe it? Within 60 miles, not one Bible preaching church. Not a single one. And I began to then not only have a burden for the upper Midwest and South Dakota and that region of the country, but also for America as a whole. Because it was of my understanding that our country has reached our country. But can I tell you, we have greatly failed. We have failed at getting the Word of God out around our communities and our country and even the world. And the Lord burdened my heart. And I came back home, and a few months later, I looked at my wife and I said, there's no way we'll go to South Dakota. She said, why is that? Brother King, I said, it's way too cold up there. I'm not doing that. And but again, it's just like me, though, to put stipulations on how God can use me. I'll say, Lord, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. Until he said, okay, I want you to surrender to the mission field. I said, Lord, I'll do anything but that. And I finally got my heart right. I said, okay, Lord, I'll go anywhere that you want me to go. And he pointed out South Dakota. I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere but there. You send me anywhere. And through the preaching of God's Word on a Wednesday night, which this is why I'm so thankful that y'all are still having Wednesday night services. It was on a Wednesday night that I answered my call to preach. It was on a Wednesday night that I answered my call to the mission field. It was on a Wednesday night that the Lord showed me in 2018 that He wanted us to go to South Dakota through the preaching of God's Word. It's on a Wednesday night, time after time again, that I got my heart right with the Lord. But in May of 2018, the Lord said, okay, this is where I want you. I want you to surrender and go to the upper Midwest. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And so I went up there again in 2018, drove from town to town to town. Must have drove through 15 or 20 more different towns than I did in 2017 that did not have Bible preaching churches. Every town that I went in had a Lutheran church. Every town that I went in had a Catholic church. And because of those two, every town that I went in had a bar. But nobody preaching the gospel. Right here in our country. There's people in our own country, it's not like it is down here, that don't have the same opportunity that me and you have. You know, some of us, we've heard the gospel 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 different times and still haven't received the gospel. And they don't have the opportunity one time to hear the Word of God preached. And so in 2019, my family went in November. Brother Ellis, I think, right before we came to y'all's church there, and we went on another survey trip, and we drove from town to town to town. And we drove through about 20 more different towns in the southeast region of South Dakota that did not have a Bible preaching churches. And can I tell you, it's not uncommon to go 100 miles in between somebody preaching the gospel in that part of the country. But not only there, I mean, you look at Utah and you look at Arizona and you look at Montana and North and South Dakota and Iowa and those states out there, it's not uncommon to not see hardly anybody preaching the gospel. We have failed. We have failed. You look at where we have come, Brother Jordan, you look at what this country was founded on. You read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. And I challenge you to read through those if you haven't. But you'll read through there and you'll see passages of Scripture woven in and out. You'll see God's name. And you read down at the bottom of those documents. And you'll see the names that was pinned down, Brother Jacob, at the bottom of those documents. And I challenge you to do research on those men. And you'll find out a lot of them loved the Lord. A lot of them were saved. A lot of them got down on their knees and read their Bible. And that's what this country was founded on. We have ventured so far off in the opposite direction. Can I tell you, there shouldn't be vast areas of the United States that does not have Bible preaching churches. They shouldn't be. But again, we have failed at doing what we're supposed to be doing. And in 2019, when I was up there, we drove from town to town to town. We had one specific town that we were praying about. We were praying about a town called Madison, South Dakota. And as we drove through that town, the Lord just not put his finger on it. The town was about 7,500 people. 15,000 people in the county there with nobody preaching the gospel. They got everything but the gospel being presented to them. And so I was praying that the Lord would send us there. I wanted to be in a small town out in the middle of nowhere, but the Lord had different plans. As we drove through there, the Lord just didn't put his finger on it. And I wanted to make sure that the Lord put his finger on it, because I know if it's the Lord calling, he's going to be the one saving souls. He's going to be the one building his church, not me, my wife, not the Macedonia board that I'm with, and only but God. Only God doing that. We drove through there, and the Lord just didn't say yes. And we drove through other towns, towns of 3,500 people, towns of 500 people, towns of 200 people, towns of 10,000 people, hardly anybody in that area preaching the gospel. And later on in the week, we had another missionary that was up there. He called me and said, "Brother, have you considered the west side of Sioux Falls?" I said, "No, not really, but it's not out of the question." So I wanted to be in a small town. See me again. Hey, every time I tell the Lord I don't want to do something, he usually says, "Okay, that's what I have you do." The other day I said, "Lord, I don't want that brand new truck." He still ain't gave it to me though. But we drove through the west side of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and see new apartment complex after new apartment complex, after new neighborhood being built. And as we drove through there and seen that, the Lord said, "This is okay. This is where I want you, right here." I said, "But Lord, this is not where I want to be at." He said, "This is where I want you." So I said, "Okay, Lord, this is where I'll be." And after we left, we learned a little bit about Sioux Falls. And we learned a little bit about the state up there. And a lot of people, when they hear about South Dakota, you might think of several different things. The one thing you might think about, if you're a tourist, you might think about Mount Rushmore. You might think about the Little House on the Prairie monuments that are up there, or the settlements. Or if you're a hunter, outdoorsman like myself, you might think of the pheasant capital of the world, or the monster white-tailed deer or mule deer, or the other animals that are there. But a couple things that you won't think about. You won't think about the just under 1 million people that are strewn across South Dakota, in towns of 500, in towns of 3,500, towns of 200, that has nobody giving them the gospel. I've heard pastors before, I've heard missionaries say before, it's not big enough, so we're not going to go there. There's not enough people there, right? But we've forgotten about these people. You also won't realize the 266,000 people that are in the city of Sioux Falls. And out of those 266,000 people that are in the town of Sioux Falls, there is over 136 different languages spoken in Sioux Falls. You won't hear that by looking up at it on the media. Also, over 180 different nations represented in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, out in the middle of nowhere. 180 different nations. That means people from 180 different countries live in Sioux Falls. And that's because several years ago, they put together a population or a plan to increase the population by so many years. And they have done just that. I believe in 1990, I think they had less than 100,000 people in the city there. Now it's over 266,000 people dumping immigrants in to fill the city and to fill the state. And with that, it's bringing Muslims in. Hindus are being brought in. Asian monks are being brought in. All these different religions are being brought into our country. And as an American, it kind of makes me upset, as the American that I am. But when I think about it with a compassionate heart, it breaks my heart. I believe we have failed at getting the gospel around the world, so the Lord said, "Okay, we'll bring them to you." Amen. Can I tell you, the world can literally be reached from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. No telling what God will do. In Mark chapter number 1, verses number 38, he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also." Our goal and our vision is not to just go and plant one independent Baptist church and pastor that church, but our goal and our vision is to plant an independent Baptist church in the west side of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and to look to the next town, and to the next town, and to the next town. I believe this is where we have failed at Christians, as believers here in America. We have failed at getting the gospel to the next town. But can I tell you, I still believe it's by the preached word of God that souls will be saved. I still believe it's by the preached word of God that churches will be built. You look in Mark chapter number 1, in verses number 4, it says, "John did as in the wilderness and preached Verses number 7, it says, and he preached. Verses number 14, it says, he preached. Verse number 38, he says, he preached. Jesus preached. 39 says he preached. Chapter number 2, verses number 2, says he preached the word of God. Can I tell you, I still believe by the preached word of God is how souls will be saved. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28. Y'all pray for our family as we are currently on deputation. We have 4 children, Maddie, Lily, Seth, and Ezekiel. And we have our 5th one that is on the way. My wife is about 8 months pregnant. That's why they are not here this evening. She is out to here and almost ready to pop. So traveling is just not feeling too well for her right now. So I did leave her back at the house. And we are about 20 to 25% of our needed support. Matthew chapter number 28. We're going to look at this very familiar passage of Scripture here this evening that we are all familiar with. And if you would stand this evening for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 28. Say amen if you're with me. Verses number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, I come to you again this evening in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, the greatest name above all, Lord. I pray that you'd help me this evening, Lord. Move me out of the way, Lord. Give me the unction to preach that only you can give, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't tune you out because this is a familiar passage of Scripture, Lord. But God, I pray that you would allow us to have ears to hear what thus saith the Lord this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Has anybody in here ever been in the military? Few of you. Brother, you're probably the youngest one out of some of us here. Can anybody tell me the first general order that was given to the ones in the military? First general order. I got you, didn't I? It's been a long time ago. First general order says there's orders given to us folks in the military. There's specific orders as far as you're given a piece of paper and told to go here or there, but there's general orders given to every single person that we must do this, this, or this. And that first general order given to us, it says, I will guard everything within the limits of my post and quit my post only when properly relieved. Remember it now, don't you? I will guard my post and quit my post only when properly relieved. Right here in this passage of Scripture, we see the great commandment or the great mandate or the great orders or whatever you have call us. But what I like to look at it is the orders given from the Lord. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, we have orders given from the Lord right here. And the orders that I believe are not to be quit, not to be put away, not to be put aside until properly relieved, which is when the Lord comes back or he takes us home. Amen. So the first thing I want to look at here is the who in carrying out this great commission. The who in carrying out this great commission. You'll see first of all in verses number 19, it says, go. What's the next word? Pastor, right? Missionary. Go ye into therefore. This word right here, ye, is given for every Christian. If you have been born again, if you have been washed in the blood, if you are saved by Jesus Christ, this word ye is given for every single one of us. It's not just given for the pastor this evening. It's not just given for the missionary. It's not just given for your Sunday school teacher. But if you have been saved, this right here is given for every single individual. If you would hold your place right there and flip over to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. I'm going to read just a couple of verses out of Matthew chapter number 6. In Matthew chapter number 6, verses number 5, the Bible says, and when thou prayest. And when thou prayest. Not that if you pray, not that you might pray, but the Bible says, and when thou prayest. when thou prayest. I believe if you want to have a relationship that is right with the Lord, if you want to have a relationship that is in good standing with the Lord, I believe you will have a fervent prayer life with the Lord. I'm not talking about a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I'm not talking about just sitting down for dinner and praying over your meal or praying when the police officer comes by. But I'm talking about a heated, fervent prayer life with the Lord, a consistency in your prayer walk. Can I tell you, if you don't have that, if you have never had that, you are missing something that you can't get from just reading your Bible. You're missing something that you can't get from just hearing your pastor preach. You're missing something that you can't tap into unless you have that consistency in your prayer life. I want to ask you a personal question. Not for your husband, not for your wife, not for your mom or dad or your children, but when's the last time that you personally had consistency in your prayer life? Not just a couple minutes. I'm talking about a prayer walk with the Lord. When's the last time that you got down on your knees on a daily basis and had that consistency with your walk with the Lord? When thou prayest. It also says in Matthew chapter number 6, it says, moreover, verse number 16, when ye fast. That's something us Baptists don't like to hear. We don't like to fast. We're addicted to food. But again, I believe if you want to have a walk with the Lord that is going to be a right walk with the Lord, a good standing with the Lord, I believe there'll be times in your life where you will fast to get answers from the Lord. You'll fast to get close to the Lord. Maybe you want to see a soul saved and you'll go with abstaining from food. That's what that word fast means. But also in Matthew chapter number 13 here, we see this parable of the sower and the seed. The sower being the one that gives out the Word of God. The seed that he is given being the Word of God that he gives out. And the ground that he is throwing it on the hearts of the individual. Verses number 3 in Matthew chapter 13, it says, and he spake many things unto them in parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And catch this now, it says, and when he sowed. Not if he sowed, not that he might sow, but when he sowed. I believe if you want to have a relationship that is well with the Lord, if you want to be in good standings with the Lord, there will be times that you sow the Word of God. There will be, you'll have to make a conscious effort to give out the Word of God. Not if you sow, but when you sow. When you sow. There'll be times, not be times, you'll have to make an effort to do this. Because I tell you what, our flesh don't want to do this. Our flesh gets embarrassed. Our flesh will make an excuse of, oh, I ain't got time today, Lord. You know, I don't do this or I don't do that. But the Bible says, and when he sowed. When he sowed. Can I tell you, Christian, I want to ask you again another personal question. When was the last time, not your husband, not your wife, but you, when was the last time that you told somebody about the Lord? Personally. When's the last time that you walked up to somebody and said, hey, let me tell you about a man named Jesus? When's the last time that you took a gospel tract and laid it in somebody's hands? When he sowed. Can I tell you, I believe if you want to have a relationship that is right with the Lord, if you want to be in good standings with the Lord, you won't have a choice but to sow the Word of God. Can I tell you, there should be something down inside of you, down something deep inside of you, when you go periods without giving out the Word of God, that something inside of you says, you need to go give it out. You need to go tell somebody. You need to go give out my Word. That's called the Holy Ghost speaking to you and saying, hey, go give out the name of Jesus. There should be something boiling down inside of your soul that says, you need to go give out the Word today. You need to go give out the gospel. When's the last time that we done it? Have we ever done it? I was in a discipleship class at our home church a couple months ago, and there was a man there, and we had them get everybody give their testimonies, how they've been saved, how the Lord saved them. And he was kind of upset that we asked him to give his testimony. Anybody gave his testimony, and after the class, he said, that's the first time I've ever told somebody how I got saved. He had never told nobody about Jesus. I'll be honest with you. If I go a week without giving a gospel tract, the Lord pricks my heart. And he says, what are you doing? Why haven't you done it? Hey, there should be something down inside of you saying, go give out the word of God. Oftentimes, what we'll do, Brother Jacob, is we'll give a little bit more in offering plate to our mission fund. We'll say, we'll put an extra 20 in our mission fund this week. That'll take care of. No, that's not how that works out. This is an individual thing. The praying ain't just for your pastor. The fasting ain't just for the missionary. And the sowing the word of God ain't just for them either. It's for every single person who was born again. I use the excuses all the time. I've used the excuses. Brother Ellis, Lord, I just don't have time today. I don't have time. Lord, I can't do it. The Bible tells us to give the gospel out to not only our home, but around the world. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Right? That, again, that's not just given for the missionary. Hey, what would happen? I'm not being racist by no stretch of imagination. What happens this week when you're down at the gas station and the Lord says, walk in there and give that Indian the gospel? We'll say, Brother Jordan, that was for you. That wasn't for me. Right? Amen? How many times have we done that? What's going to happen when you're out in public and the Lord says, go give the gospel to that Hispanic person? Lord, you know I don't know Spanish. They probably know English better than you do. Amen? But what happens is, oftentimes we leave that up for the missionaries. We'll say, we'll let them take care of the rest of the world. We'll take care of our Jerusalem, or maybe we won't even do that. Sometimes we'll do this too, and we'll send out missionaries, but we won't give the gospel out right here in our hometown. Hypocrites. It's kind of what that is, right? Amen. We see the Great Commission. I won't go into the rest of my outline here, but I want to make an emphasis. If there's one thing that I can encourage you on, that I can give you a charge to do, is that is to give out the Word of God. I know there's sinners in your town. I've been down to the Walmart. Amen. I know there's lost ones walking around. I spoke to one this earlier today. Didn't have a clue what it was to be saved. He quoted John 3:16, but that's about all he could do. I know there's lost folks right here. Right? There's lost folks all across the America and all across the world. What's going to be your excuse this week? I challenge you. Brother Jacob, I want to challenge your church this week. If you're not already doing so, this week, take the gospel to at least one person. Give the gospel out to at least one person this week. There's no telling how the Lord will bless. There's no telling how many souls, if you do that week after week, Brother Jacob, how many souls could we see saved? How much the church would increase by the number of souls that were saved? How much the sound could be flipped over if just the people in here would take the gospel to one person? Lord, I come before you again this evening in Jesus' name. Oh God, and I thank you, Lord, and I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word of God. God, I thank you for giving me a calling, Lord, and calling my family. God, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to take the gospel to somebody this week. But not only this week, Lord, and the week after that and the week after that. Lord, you came that sinners might be saved, Lord. God, you chose us to give out your word of God, Father. You chose us to, by people may be saved, by us giving out the word of God. So, God, I pray that you'd help us, each and every one of us, to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.